Welcome to the Heart Zone, featuring George Cannon. This broadcast is a time of teaching and encouragement from Curwensville Christian Church. For more information, we invite you to visit us on the web at www.curwensvillechristian.org. And now for a message from the Heart Zone. Here's George Cannon.
All right, guys, what I'd like you to do is I'd like you to turn to the final chapter of 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy chapter 4, we're going to focus on verses 1 to 8. Now, let's just kind of remind ourselves, this is our ninth message in this series, and we've been talking about how to live right now, living in the last days. And the last days, according to the scriptures, are the days before Jesus comes. Now, that refers to when he left. Of course, we know that was when he ascended 2,000 years ago. And that is the time between the ascension and his return. And that's 2,000 years. And that's where we are right now, the last days. And there is something that you and I are to do in the meantime. There is something that you and I are to focus on. There is something that you and I need to be looking to in the midst of that. And especially these days, especially when people are no longer comfortable, and to be honest with you, for the last few years, we've gotten out of our comfort zones of what we thought was normal with everything that's going on and directions and political stuff and cultural things and everything, that a lot more people are saying, oh, this is it, we're getting ready. No, we've always been getting ready. We've always been waiting for Jesus to come back. And the reality is, we've got to live a certain way right now. We've got to have our heads focused on the things that he wants us to see. Oh, it hasn't been this bad, George. Really? Think about it. I'm in my 50s. I can't think of a decade that hasn't gone by that I hadn't heard somebody say in church, we're in the last days. It is so terrible now. What does that mean? It's just always been terrible. People have not been looking to the Lord. We're living in the last days, folks. So how do we live now? Don't get psyched out about what's going on. We'll get through this. But you need to live a certain way. And today especially, we're going to be told how to do that. Why? I've already told you that this is Paul's last letter that we have. Maybe he wrote some other ones, but this is the one that God gave us in the New Testament. And this is his last charge. He knows, even as he's going to say what he's going to say here in a moment, that he's going to die. He's had his, again, appeared before Nero, the, quote, wise emperor of the time, right? No. The madman. And he's, again, appeared before him. About what? Being a believer in Jesus Christ and spreading the gospel. And he knows that he's going to die. It's only a matter of time before the verdict is given. Somebody comes and takes him and literally cuts his head off. That's what they did. They beheaded him. So he's going to say something. So he's going to tell Timothy, which is for you and I as well, right? He's going to tell us what we need to focus on. So usually we pay attention to people when we know they're getting ready to die, right? We usually pay attention to what they're saying. And so he's going to tell us what we need to do. He's already laid a foundation. He's already laid a foundation throughout the entire letter about focusing on the truths and letting the truths and cherishing the investment of other believers in your life, being aware of the time, being aware of the false teachers. And so now he's going to wrap it up. And there's something for us to learn here. So why don't we look at what he says? Okay, so we're going to start with verse 1, and we're going to verse 8. Here is what he writes. I charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead, and by his appearing and his kingdom. Preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season. Reprove, rebuke, and exhort with complete patience and teaching. For the time is coming when people will not endure sound teaching, but have itching ears. They will accumulate for themselves teachers to suit their own passions, and will turn away from listening to the truth and wander off into myths. As for you, always be sober-minded, endure suffering, do the work of an evangelist, fulfill your ministry. For I am already being poured out as a drink offering, and the time of my departure has come. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Henceforth, there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day. And not only to me, but also to all who have loved his appearing. All right, now here's what we're going to do, folks. We're going to divide this up into four sections. So he's going to talk about our responsibility. And then in order for you to understand our responsibility, he's going to talk about the nature of people. He's going to tell you why do we need to do these things, but he's going to tell you this is because these are folks. And then with that, he's going to kind of give us some more things to focus on. And then we're going to see his final perspective. And hopefully it's going to be the kind of perspective that we have. So let's look at it. First of all, our responsibility. We see it in verses 1 to 2. Here's what he says. I charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is the judge, who is to judge the living and the dead, and by his appearing and his kingdom, preach the word, be ready in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, and exhort with complete patience and teaching. I'm going to tell you two things here, okay? But before I do that, I want you to notice what he's saying here. I charge you. He's saying that to Timothy. I'm telling you what you need to do. So this is serious. Pay attention. I'm only going to tell it to you once, Timothy. And I'm telling you before God and before Jesus, because they're the ones who are going to judge in the end. So listen to what I'm about to tell you. And here's what it is. Here's our responsibility. I broke it down to two things. Number one, you must be ready to proclaim the message of Jesus to others. Now, you probably read that and you thought, where he said, preach the word, you thought, well, that's just for preachers, George. That's for you. No, the word means proclaim. It's just that the writers, when they translated it preach. And so we're ready to excuse that one away. But no, it's proclaim. It's you tell others about Jesus. You tell others about the message of the gospel. When do we do that? In season and out of season. What do you think that means? When it's appropriate and when it's not. When it's ready and when it's not. At any moment. Get ready to share with others about who? Jesus. Did you understand what I'm saying? Now that should come out of you naturally. Why? Because hopefully you have a relationship with him on a daily basis where you see what he's doing in your life. You see him carrying you through things that you could share. Hopefully you've had a relationship with Jesus where you realize he's alive. Where in the midst of your difficulties, he's given you peace. He didn't necessarily take away the problem, but he gave you a sense of his presence to let you know you're not alone. And it should flow out of you naturally. A love for God. See, if you have such a relationship with Jesus, it flows out of you. And so this is the responsibility we have. We have a responsibility, he's saying here, to what? Because of the time and because one day I'm going to stand before him, I need to proclaim him when it's ready and when it's not. It needs to come out. Here's the second thing he tells us. You need to patiently and thoroughly address people to help them grow. What do you mean? Look at what he says here. These are some words we don't like, but he uses them, and so therefore we need to listen to him. Look at what he says here. Preach the word in season and out of season. Here's what he says. Reprove. Now, what does reprove mean? It means to correct. Reprove, rebuke. Don't do that. That's not right. That's what a rebuke is, right? Then it says, exhort. That is to instruct, to encourage somebody to do something. But here's how you do it. You don't wag a finger at somebody. Christians are good at wagging fingers. It says here, if you look at what it says here, with complete patience. Wow, that's hard. But that's how we're supposed to do it. With complete patience and teaching. That's the point I'm making here. You need to patiently and thoroughly address people. This is our responsibility. This is how we're supposed to be with each other and with people around us. Now, why do we need to be that way? Because he tells us in verses 3 to 4 what the nature of people are. And if you listen to what he says, you can see it happening right now. In fact, if you listen to what he says, you'll realize that's the way people have been, period. What do you mean? Look with me at verse 3. Here's what he says. For the time is coming when people will not endure sound teaching, but having itching ears, they will accumulate for themselves teachers to suit their own passions and will turn away from listening to the truths and wander off into myths. Listen, folks, this is what, you want to understand the times right now? This is the times. These are the people. This is where they're at. Here's two things. Okay, here it is. Number one, recognize that people will reject sound teaching in favor of meeting their needs. This is the reality. They'll reject sound teaching. They don't want to have anything to do with it. They want to go somewhere and have somebody tell them what they want to hear. They want to find a church that tells them how to have a happy home and have a happy lawn and have happy pets. Do you understand? But I'm going to tell you something. Have you noticed that when you read the Bible, it's not all sweet by and by? When I read it, there are a lot of times when I read it, I feel like, do I need to put this down because he's slapping me upside the head with a 2x4? He's pointing out to me things that are not good in my life, that I need to change, that I need to address. But see, most people don't want to put up with that. This is the nature of the times. If you don't like the message, go somewhere else. This is where people are at. We got to soften it. Here's the other thing I want you to see. Second thing about the nature of people. People will turn to myths and teachers who will tell them what they want to hear. Myths. Make-believe stuff. Believe anything. Some people call them lies. Well, yeah, they are, aren't they? People are ready to embrace lies because they want to believe something different. And the fact is, people will listen to that. They will reject sound teaching and what? They'll gather to themselves teachers who will tell them what they want to hear, teachers who will soothe their itching ears, and they'll believe myths. Stuff that doesn't even make sense. And this is the nature of the times. Now, how do we live there? Well, he's already told you. He's already given you a responsibility. Share Jesus. And when the times are appropriate, patiently. And buddy, when you're dealing with that kind of stuff in the world, you need to be patient, right? Patiently with teaching, correct them, exhort them. Do that. But so that brings us on to what does our focus need to be? Look with me at verse 5. So here's where we need to focus. Here's what he says. Look with me at verse 5. As for you, always be sober-minded, enduring suffering, do the work of an evangelist, fulfill your ministry. All right, so he's going to give us two things to think about here. Maintain your focus and endure suffering and difficulties. When he says about being sober-minded, he's not talking about you being sober as in you're not drinking or doing drugs. That's not what he's talking about. He's talking about being sober-minded. That means you have your mind under control. You are looking at life from a perspective. And the perspective that a believer should be looking at life from is from God's Word's perspective, right? From the relationship with the Lord. So be sober-minded. Have your focus. Be focused. Don't be going into a situation thinking about this, and I wonder how the Steelers are going to do this year, and how's the Pirates doing, and boy, the fishing's great here. What are we talking about here? Nuclear physics? No, you don't do that. Keep your focus. But as you keep your focus, he's telling you to endure. And if you notice again, there's an assumption with the call to endure. He's assuming that things aren't always going to be good. And that in life, there will be what? Difficulties. And in life, especially if you're walking with Jesus, there will be suffering. So keep your focus. Here's the second thing he says, do the work of evangelists, fulfill your ministry. What's he talking about here? Make the effort to tell others about salvation and fulfill your service to the Lord. When he talks about do the work of an evangelist, immediately we think, well, that's not me because I'm not Billy Graham. You're right. You're not Billy Graham. I'm not Billy Graham. That is not what he's talking about. He's not talking about you being Billy Graham. But what he's talking about is you do the work of somebody who's proclaiming Jesus and share with others about Christ. You do the work and fulfill your service to him. That's what ministry, the word ministry here, we assume immediately that's somebody in full-time ministry. That's a pastor, you know, that's a missionary, that's an evangelist. That's not me, George, because, you know, I work at the job. Yeah, I understand. But that's because your English translation translates it ministry. The word is service. This is your service to the Lord. You do the work of somebody who's proclaiming Jesus as your servant. Because let's be honest. He didn't save you just to have sweet times for you by and by. He saved you to be an instrument in his hand to reach people who are lost so that they come to know Christ, right? Because he's willing that none should perish and that others have eternal life as well. And so you fulfill your ministry, your service to him by what? Telling others about Jesus. Now, I'm not saying don't, you know, I've got a big Bible here. That's because it's large print and it needs to be big. But I'm not saying that you walk around in Walmart with your Bible ready to thump somebody with it. I'm not calling you to be a Bible thumper. But what I am calling you to do is when you talk to somebody and they are talking to you and there are the opportunities. Went to the doctor, George. Told me this. I don't know how to handle it. This is going on in my life, George. I don't have any hope in this situation. How do I handle it? I feel like God's abandoned me. How do I handle it? Be ready to share with them because hopefully God's been real in your life. And they don't need a theological treatise. They don't need you to expound Sunday school lessons to them. They need you just to talk to them about how real Jesus is, how he got you through that situation, how he gave you grace. Fulfill your service. This is where we need to be. And I'll be honest with you, the greatest example of that is the Apostle Paul. So these are his final words. This is his perspective as a guy who knows that in a short time, might be weeks, might be a few months, but he's going to die, and he did. Here's what he writes. I want you to look with me, verse 6 through 8. For I am already being poured out as a drink offering. The time of my departure has come. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day, and not only to me, but also to all who have loved his appearing. Here's Paul's perspective. I hope it's our perspective. Two things. Here's the first one. There was a recognition that the time was short and that he had fulfilled his task. When he says this, look, it's kind of odd language for us, but he says, I'm being poured out as a drink offering. Now, again, he's Jewish, and it wasn't just the sacrifice of bulls and of lambs or doves or grain offerings, but they would pour out drink offerings to the Lord, water. Water is a precious commodity in the time that they lived in. They didn't have necessarily great wells or city water and so forth. And so you pour out something precious before the Lord, and he says, I'm like a drink offering ready to be poured out. My time is at hand here. He goes on and he says, the time of my departure has come. I have fought the good fight. I have kept the faith. There was a recognition that the time was short and he had fulfilled his task. That's a man who's facing death with a clear conscience. He knows that he's done what he needed to do. Here's the second thing I want you to see about him. There was a recognition that there was an eternal reward awaiting him. Now, let's be honest. He's in a terrible situation. He's in a dungeon. Now, don't think county jail where they feed them, give them something to wear, keep the building climate controlled. I don't want you to think that. I want you to think first century Roman dungeon where the food you eat is because somebody brought you food from the outside. Whether or not you have clothes is because somebody brought it to you. In fact, we would see if we continue on in this letter, he tells Timothy, bring me my cloak, his jacket. Why? It gets cold in a dungeon. So this is the man who's not in a good situation, but where's his perspective? His perspective is, there is something better coming. And the Lord himself will give me a crown of righteousness, will reward me. And you know what? It's interesting. He didn't just say that it's just for him, but he said for all who love his appearing. That's for all believers who are anticipating Christ's return. There's a crown. There's a reward. This is a man who has a perspective beyond this life, who realizes this life isn't going to get any better. It's going to get worse. How do you know it's going to get worse? Read your Bibles. It's going to tell you it's going to get worse. And he's not holding on to here. He's looking forward. And that's what's driving him forward. When will we learn that? You can't go back. You have to deal with now and be ready for the future. But if you're holding on to this place, it's only going to be disappointment. He was looking forward. That, my friends, is the perspective we need to have. So you say, okay, George, what do we do with this? Okay, let's wrap this up. All right, we're living in the last days. I think we understand that. So the question is, how are you living? What's your focus? What's guiding you? Where's your determination? I pray that the Spirit would guide you to embrace Paul, that he would guide me to embrace Paul and how I live. Because there is a verse, and I thought, do I share this with him? I thought, well, I'll wait. Well, I think I need to. I want you to look at verse 10. This is a haunting testimony. It's not about Paul, but about someone else. Look at what he says. First of all, in verse 9, he says to Timothy, do your best to come to me soon. So he's telling him, I need you to come. Come, come, come. Because he knows the time's at hand. He wants to see him. But then notice what he says, verse 10. For Demas, in love with this present world, has deserted me and gone to Thessalonica. So Demas, who's Demas, George? Well, if you read some of the other letters, you'll see Demas mentioned. Demas was one of the companions of Paul. He was somebody who hung out with Paul and took part in his ministry, traveled around and seen the things that Paul has gone through. But now, can I be honest with you, as the curtain is falling and things aren't going well, notice what Paul says about him. He didn't just say, oh, he's going to Thessalonica and I'm by myself now. He said, for Demas loves this present world. He's got a love for the way things are right now. His perspective is right now. So he deserted me. So what do you do with this? Well, you need to ask yourself, where's your focus? What do you mean, George? Where's your focus? Are you so in love with this place, and so you get so worked up because you want to make sure that this place is reflective of what you think it needs to be? Or is your perspective eternal, no matter what it turns out here? You hold on loosely here because what you're holding on firmly is a hope for the future. And that if things don't go well, and in his case, it didn't go well, you hang on. Where's your focus? Because there is a danger when you embrace that which is temporal too much, it swallows you. What do you mean, George? You hold on loosely to this world because this world will one day be destroyed. And it isn't going to go well. And if you're holding on to here, I'm going to be honest with you, this world will suck you in. And when it sucks you in, it pushes God out. And that's what happened to Demas. Because Demas wasn't in jail, folks. He was just one of the guys that was coming and visiting Paul, but because things weren't going hard and he didn't want to be recognized as one of the guys hanging out with Paul, he decided, I like this place a lot better. I'm leaving. And he left. And you know what? And we never know what happened to him. There's nothing in church history that tells us what happens to Demas, but Demas has gone down in church history as the guy who deserted Paul because he loved things here more than he loved God. So who are we going to be in these last days? Are we going to be like Paul, faithful to the end? Or are we going to be like Demas, who loved the present world? Something to think about.
Hi, folks. This is George. I want to thank you for listening this morning, and I want to tell you about a free app that you can get for your mobile device that will allow you to access all the materials and information you need about our church in one device. Simply go to your app store on your Android or Apple device and search for Kerwinsville Christian Church. The app is free, and what you'll find there is everything you need to know, plus all the teaching from our church as well as this program. And we hope that you will utilize that in your search for Christ. Until next week, folks, take care and may the Lord bless you.